left to die. Oh, raise your head for others passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live.
Now your burdens lifted,
I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for where I live. Right here in good old East Tennessee.
Amen.
And every other week I have to drive twice around Atlanta. I'm glad to be here in good old East Tennessee. Now let's pray this morning. Father, dear God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. Father, we thank you for our salvation. Father, we thank you for the blessings that we have living right here in East Tennessee. Father, we know that there are people around the world who suffer this morning. We pray for them, Father. We know there's people hungry. We know there's people that are cold. Father, most of all, there's people who are lost. Father, we pray that through our cooperative efforts, through missionaries, Father, and through evangelism, they'll come to know you. Father, we thank you so much for Vacation Bible School. Father, we praise you for what you've done this week right here at Queens Creek Baptist Church. Watch over us, protect us this week. We'll give you all the praise and honor and glory. In your name we pray. Amen.
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 Well, for you, those of you that have been following the Sava, yes, Kathy's going to sing this time. I believe that this is the third time I've been lined up to sing, but today I am. I've had dreams
jot down stuff, and you know, I sat down yesterday and I was going to, you know, put an outline together, That's what Renee recommended I do, and that was such a good idea. And I had 18 pages of notes. And I thought, whoa! And of course, you know, it started, you can't do that. You know, you've got to take this down a little bit. You know, and I started trying to take it down, and my mind was just going. And so I told Renee, I said, I think I need to go to the golf course and clear my mind. So I did, and it didn't work. You know, even on the golf course, you know, but things were going through my mind. You know, you've got too much information. You can't talk about all that stuff. Stuff like, you know, I was out, and, you know, everybody knows how sunny and bright it was yesterday, and I was out there just playing golf, and it came to me and said, oh, you're wearing that hat and your sunglasses. I said, you're going to be up there in front of them tomorrow, and you're going to have a ring around your head with your glasses on. You're going to look silly. And, you know, then I got home last night, and I got those 18 pages out. I was going to try to throw everything together. And, you know, when I do my notes to teach, I think I learned this from Richard. I always use, you know, different colors for my scripture and a different color for my questions and highlighters and that sort of thing. And guess what? I could not find my favorite blue pen. And it was over. I wasn't going to be able to do this because I couldn't find my favorite blue pen. Spent 30 minutes tearing that table in that kitchen apart and looking downstairs in my office. Could not find my blue pen. So, you know, all was lost. You know, and stuff kept going, you know, kind of going through my mind. Finally, Russ and Terry, it ain't about you.
That's right.
You know, it's not about you. And I want to share with you a verse to start with. This is not what I'm talking about. This is free. From 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I shared this with you a couple of weeks ago as I was talking about the Holy Spirit. But, you know, isn't it funny? And this just shows you, you know, how good God is. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And this is Paul in his letter says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So God told me, it's not about you, and it's not. So pray for me this morning. I kid you not, this is an awesome responsibility. And, you know, as I prepared for this, I came to a newfound respect for Brother Bud and John David, who get up here, and it just seems to, you know, to come to them and that sort of thing. I admire you for that. But what we're going to be studying about today, and I appreciate Kathy singing that song, because that ties so much in with what I want to talk about today. I bet you I've listened to that song 40 times this week, and it's become one of my favorites. And each and every time, by the end of the song, I'm crying like a baby.
Hey, man.
And I probably will be before this is over. Okay?
But
that's right.
If the Word of God.
Bless Him, Lord.
And knowing how much He loves you, if that doesn't break your heart,
yeah.
Something's wrong.
That's right.
So bear with me. But I'm going to be studying or preaching, that just blows my mind that I just said. I'm going to be teaching from the book of Acts, chapter 27. And these are a lot of verses, and I promise, I know we're running long. And I promise, you know, I've concised it from 18 pages to 4, though, okay? So we'll probably be good. I hope. But I've got a lot of verses here, but I want to tell you a little story here. In Acts chapter 27, verses 13 through 44. Listen to what it says here. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosening thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called a Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught, and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drop. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after the long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from grief, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down the Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms, and when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except those abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off their ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken none. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for it is of your health, for there shall not be a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were all in the ship, 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land. But they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded them that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea to get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces, of the ship, and it came to pass that they all escaped safe to land. I want to talk to you today about 4 anchors that still hold. If you look at verse 29, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for death, for the day. 4 anchors that still hold. And I promise you I'll try to get through this. 4 anchors that still hold in the midst of a storm, or when we have a storm, not if we have a storm. Paul said there's no if to having storms in your life. Right. Everybody faces storms. Job 14:1, a man who is no stranger to storms. Job said, man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. And amen, Job.
Amen.
Billion. And 4 anchors I want to talk about today are the anchors of prayer, the anchor of faith, the anchor of God's promises, and the anchor of God's plan. And I told Renee, you know, to just see how your mind works. I said, you know, I admire these pastors that they can do something like this. And, you know, they always line them up where you've got 4 P's, or they line them up a certain way. And I said, and I don't have that. And that's the kind of thing that was worrying. And I told her yesterday, I said, well, maybe I could just put it up there on the screen, and we'll spell faith with a P-H, and I'll tell them that's the way the old Greek text had it. You know, and I figured I could probably get that by maybe Richard and KP, but I figured somebody, Jim Green, would probably call me on it. So I'm not worried about that anymore, though. But we're going to look at those 4 acres right quick. And I want you to take a look at the situation first. You know, it starts out in verse 13. You know, Paul had been in prison for 2 years in Caesarea. And now it's time to go to Rome. He had appealed to Caesar. They were going to take him to Rome. And, you know, they set out. You know, they had a little bit of trouble getting to a place by the name of Fair Havens, where they were now. You know, it was already past sailing time in the Mediterranean. And Paul warned him, said, you know, we really want to consider this. But, you know, they had a mission. They had to get the grain of where they were going. And so they found a good day, and they decided to set out. You know, I just want to talk to Tim and see if we could come up with some sort of song that went along with the tune of Gilligan's Island, because that's kind of, you know, they found a good day and they set sail, you know, for a 3-hour tour. This was really going to be a 3 to 4 hour trip. And isn't that how it goes? You know, when we think everything is great, you know, and we decide that we're going to set out, you know, without maybe consulting God, what happens a lot of times? Most of the time, the storm is going to hit. Okay, and this was some kind of storm. Look at some of the things that it says. The verse 14 says the ship was caught, or the ship could not go forward. It could not go back. It says that we just let her drive, or we just let her drift. And that's what storms do to you. Storms are going to beat you up. They're going to batter you, where you just, you know, we feel like we've got nothing. We can't do anything about it. And we just let them drift. We just let her drift. We just let her drive. Verse 17 says again, same thing. They struck sail and were so driven. Verse 18 says, we were exceedingly tempest-tossed. That means it was just continuous. Verse 27 says they were driven up and down the Adriatic seas. That means what? They were just going in circles, just back and forth. They weren't making any headway. How many of you ever been in that kind of situation? I know I have.
Man.
Okay? And then verse 20. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was given up. So what had happened? All hope was lost. Can you all hear me? Okay? Can everybody hear me okay? If I didn't turn this on, you think? Sorry about that. I didn't even think about that. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
Up there?
Yeah.
Okay. As long as my wife can hear me, we're good. Okay. And again, I ask you, have you ever been in that situation? All hope that they would be saved was given up. I've been there. You know, I don't know what's going on in everyone's life, but I can tell you, I have been there. And you know, storms in our lives can take on many forms. You know, there are financial storms, there are family storms, there are job storms, there are, you know, health storms. They can take on many forms. And they can be just like we see here. You know, it says that there was, you know, this went on for like 14 days or possibly even more. Sometimes the storms seem to come one right after another.
That's right.
And seem to never end.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking, doing some research for this, and I came upon a little thing that was Charlie Brown and Lucy. And Charlie Brown told Lucy, said, I've got so many troubles that if something happens to me today, it's going to be 2 weeks before I can worry about it. And sometimes that's the way things seem to go.
That's right.
But we can sometimes, you know, feel like Luke describes here that all hope is gone and we've given up. But we, as God's children, have anchors, okay, that still hold.
Amen.
They still hope. First anchor I want to talk to you about, and I promise you, I'm going to hurt, is the anchor of prayer. And you know, you might not see prayer here, you know, unless you dig deeper. But I want you to look right quick. First of all, you know, one thing that, you know, when God came to Paul, the angel of God came to Paul and gave him this word, and gave him this promise, which we'll talk about in just a minute. I believe Paul was praying. Because you know what? I think Paul was a prayer warrior.
Right.
In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you know, Paul says, pray without ceasing. And you know, a lot of people say when the storm hits, you know, the first thing you need to do is get on your knees and pray. You should already be on your knees
right.
in prayer
right.
when the storm hits. It's called a preemptive strike, right? You know what they call that? But I believe Paul was already praying. I believe he had been praying since they left Caesarea, since before he got on the boat. I believe Paul was praying. And another reason that I believe that Paul was praying is if you see when the angel came in verse 24, what did the angel say? What's the first thing the angel said to Paul? Fear not. Fear not. I think Paul, as great a prayer warrior as he was and a faithful man, I think Paul had some concern. The angel says, fear not. My mom's here today. I appreciate her being here. I told my mom one time, I said, Mom, you worry too much. And she says, I don't worry. It's concern. So Paul, I don't know if Paul was worrying, but he was definitely concerned. Okay? He was definitely concerned. And so the angel told him, fear not. And, you know, some of these things that I see here, you know, blow my mind. Others were up there, you know, throwing things overboard and trying to come up with a plan. And I think as much as possible, Paul had found him a place to sit down and pray. And, you know, more than anything else, I think Paul had made his petitions to God. He had told God his concerns. But I think more than anything, Paul at this moment was in listening mode. He was in listening mode. And that's something I think we can all take a lesson from. That's something I've been trying to do over the last year or two. I've been concentrating on listening to God. You know, for years and years and years, I told everybody, and I know I've shared it with you in here before, maybe on a Wednesday night, I've done my Sunday school class, I heard it, that I used to pray to God. I said, God, you know, make it so obvious to me. Hit me upside the head with a tomb before to show me, you know, or to get my attention. Well, I quit praying then. Because you know something? That hurts. Somebody who, I'm not going to pray for that anymore, but I want to take time to listen. So I think Paul was in listening mode. And a lot of people are going to say, well, how can you hear God in the midst of a storm? You just take time to listen. When Jesus was giving his, I think it was John chapter 10, when he was teaching and when he gave his I am statement, I am the good shepherd, he said, my sheep know me and they hear my voice.
Amen.
You know, and that's, you know, when shepherds would keep their sheep, they would keep them all. There might be four or five shepherds keeping all their sheep in one corral or whatever you want to call it. And the shepherd would go to the sheep gate and he would call his sheep. And his sheep knew his voice. Amongst all that other bleeding and amongst all that other chaos, you know, they could hear his voice. So be in tune and listen for God's voice. And then, you know, if you look, and this blows my mind too, at the other thing that the angel said to Paul in verse 24 there. He said, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So Paul had not only let God know his concern. Guess what Paul was doing? He was praying for the safety of others.
Right.
Now, you know, these were prisoners, Roman soldiers, some of the most awful guys that you could run into at that time. Bunch of sailors, okay? But Paul was praying for them. And that tells me a lot right there too. And I can learn a lot from that lesson because, you know, I taught the Sunday school class this morning. When most of the time when I sit down to pray, I'm Monty Hall, God, let's make a deal. Or I'm I Dream a Genie, plant and telling him my three wishes and then going about my merry way. I can learn a lot from Paul. And then the last thing, if you look in verse 35 there, it says that Paul, you know, he took bread and he gave thanks. It brung them all and he broke it and he ate it, giving thanks in the midst of the storm. That's hard to do, folks. But, you know, you think about it, no matter what's going on, you know, if you're a child of God, you have plenty to be thankful for.
Amen.
So I urge you, when a storm comes in your life, when not if, you know, throw out that anchor of prayer. The next anchor that I want to talk to you about today is the anchor of faith. And I just want to, you know, in two verses here, two of the possibly the most wonderful statements of faith that I've heard in a long time. The first one, is in verse 23. Paul says, "For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and who I serve." Whom I serve. What a statement. What a wonderful statement. Then he goes on down in verse 25. And he says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Now that's a wonderful, what two wonderful statements of faith. And you know, Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we'll tie that in just one second. But think about what gave Paul's hope substance. What gave him, you know, faith in God. Well, that's exactly what it was. It was faith in God. He believed God. Now, God, it doesn't say, now this is, get this, wrap your head around this. He doesn't say, "I believe in God." Folks, even the demons of hell believe in the existence of God.
That's right.
Paul believed God.
Right.
He was totally sold out. He had total confidence in what God had to tell him, and that is so important in God's faithfulness. And just very quickly, I just want to share this with you. In 2 Corinthians 11, excuse me, just one second. I hit it. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 27. I think this is so important. Listen, this is what gave Paul's faith, okay, his hope substance. "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." What gave Paul's faith for his hope substance? He believed in God, the God to whom he belonged and the God whom he served. What Paul's saying here, me and God have been through a lot. Okay? All these things, we've been through a lot. And if he can bring me through that, you know, if he wants me to go to Rome to preach, by golly, I'm going to Rome to preach.
Amen.
That's the substance of the hope. That's part of faith. And Paul had that. But you know, faith isn't just, you know, it is very personal. But it can't be all personal. Faith is something that's to be shared. You know, because Paul not only prayed for the others, but there was others that were going through this storm with Paul. And if you look in verse 22 and 23, right quick, it says, I'm way off. I'm still in Corinthians. In verses 22 and 23, he says, I now exhort you to be of good cheer. Okay? In 25, he says it again. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Paul wanted to share his excitement and his faith over this message that God had brought to him. This message of hope. And he wanted to share the substance, the faith that he had of this hope God had shared. But he didn't just share it. And this is something we need to take note of too. He lived it. He exemplified it. Okay? He put it out there for others to see. He put it on display. In 33 through 36, you know, Paul implored them to take some, you know, to eat some breakfast. It says, dawn was coming. Please eat some breakfast. And it says in verse 35, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. So don't, you know, share it. Because faith is so important. But faith is meant to have legs. And faith is
Amen.
Meant to work
right.
and produce. And it can only do that if we share it, and we live it, and we exemplify it. Because if people see it, just like these guys did here, what are they going to do? They're going to say, man, I want me some of that.
That's right.
I want me some of that. So faith is very important to us personally, but it's also meant to be shared. The next anchor, oh man, is, and I promise, I'm trying to hurry, we're the anchor of God's promises. You know, and this is where Paul put his faith, is the anchor of God's promises. He put his faith in the anchor that you know, this angel came, this angel of God came and told him that, Paul, you're going to go to Rome and preach. And all these that are on the ship are going to be saved too. That's where Paul put his faith. Now, Paul, you know, believed God's promise. God's promises today are what? Are God's Word.
Right.
And they're still just as important and
Amen.
Just as vibrant and just as rock solid
That's right.
as when they were written thousands of years ago. They're an anchor for us in the midst of a storm.
Amen.
And, you know, it goes on, you know, in verses 33 through 38, you know, a lot of times the Word of God in the Bible is referred to as food for the body. And Paul implores them, you know, to take meat physically. But just like bread, you know, bread nourishes us physically, so does the Word of God,
right.
you know, nourish us spiritually. And just like Paul said this bread would give them nourishment or health and safety and encouragement, so does the Word of God do the same thing for us spiritually. I urge you to read those verses. And you know, if you get a chance, think about this verse 38. It says, after they had eaten, that they were strengthened and they were able to get all the wheat, you know, tossed out of the boat. You know, the wheat was the one thing they left on the boat. They had thrown over, you know, the tackle and all the extra stuff and all that. But the wheat was their livelihood. The wheat was their, you know, what was the purpose of their journey, was to haul this wheat wherever they were going. Now I've forgotten. But you know something, when we fill our minds and we fill our hearts, and when we fill our lives with the Word of God, there's no room for any extra baggage. There's no room for anything else, because we need to fill our lives and our hearts and our minds with the Word of God and get rid of all the rest of those things.
Right.
Those things are things that men depend on and things that, you know, we shouldn't be putting our faith in. Our faith should be in the promises of God. I read somewhere while I was studying this that there are 7,847 promises in the Word of God.
Mm.
Now that's wild. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel each have over 1,000 promises. Psalm 37 is about 40 verses long, and almost every verse is a promise. When you think about it, this right here is one big promise.
That's right.
Okay? It's called the Scarlet Thread of Redemption.
Amen.
That's what this book is about. As Richard Street says, what? From kibber to kibber. From the beginning to the end, it's about one thing. And that's redemption. It's one big promise. And you know, in verse 44, at the end of those verses I shared with you, God kept His promise. All 276 on board made it safely to shore. God kept His promises, and He still does. God's promises, His words, are an anchor in the storm. Okay, the last anchor that I want to talk to you about is the anchor of God's plan. I'm so glad that God has a plan for my life. I am so glad.
Amen.
How many of y'all believe that God has a plan for your life?
Amen.
Okay, very good. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you know what that plan is? Woo! That's a little different there. And you know, that's what's so hard for us. But I want you to look at this just for a second. You know, but you know, when you think about God's plan, some of them are very evident. You know, God tells us in His Word, you know, what some of the parts of the plan He has for our lives are. He wants us to grow. He wants us to witness. He wants us to mature. That's all part of the plan. But there's a lot more to it than that. You know? But you know, I want you to look right quick, I promise, at God's plan for Paul and his passengers. And this kind of tickles me a little bit. If you look in verse 22, Paul says, "And I exhort you to be of good cheer, you know, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but for the ship." And then in verse 26, he says, how be it, we must be cast upon a certain island, or we must run aground on a certain island. And you know, some of the guys knew that Paul had warned them not to go. And I'm sure some of them knew that Paul was, you know, a man of God, and maybe they were excited that Paul had received this revelation from God. And we're saying, all right, Paul's got a plan. But I want you to think just a minute. Think about the sailors. Can you imagine what the sailors were thinking? Okay, his plan is that we're going to run the ship aground, and the ship's going to be destroyed. That's Paul's plan. In verse 30, it says that the sailors went over and got the little skiff and threw it down in the water under the guise of setting out more anchors. They didn't think a whole lot of Paul's plan. But you know something? A lot of times, God will, if we're listening like Paul, God will, just like he did with Paul, reveal his plan. But you know something? God's plan sometimes doesn't make sense to us. Sometimes God's plan seems impossible. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, listen to what it says. And this is, I hearken back to this a lot. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Right.
You know, God is so far up here above me. You know, so when I develop a plan, you know, I'm like the sailors there a few verses back. It says when the storm hit that they got cables and wrapped them around the ship so the ship wouldn't just blow apart. I'm a fixer. I fix things. Renee, not a word. But I like to think of myself as a fixer. And I enjoy fixing things. And I get a sense of accomplishment. Okay? But a lot of times when there's a storm in my life, the first thing I try to do is, guess what? Come up with a plan to fix it.
That's right.
You know where that normally gets me?
Nowhere.
Just like these guys. Just more storms and getting to the point where, you know, the hope is going away. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find. Okay? You know, when a storm hits your life, there might be an easy out. Okay? And God might provide you an easy out. But God's Word tells me here that more often than not, to our frail human puny eyes, that God's way and His gate is going to what? It's going to look hard. It's going to look difficult. It might look impossible. But again, just a few verses over, in Matthew 19, verse 26, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Amen.
God's plan is an anchor. And you know, it's great. We talked about this in my Sunday school class, and I promise I'll end with this. It's great when our plans match up with God's. You know, that is just wonderful. But it didn't happen that way for Paul. Look at really quickly a couple things that happened. In verses 30 through 32 of Acts 27, it says, and when the sailors were about to flee out of the ship, they let down the boat, you know, under the guise of throwing out more anchors. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Okay? The plan that the sailors had didn't quite match up with what Paul had. Okay? Now, when, you know, they were running the ship aground, okay, when they were following God's plan and they ran the ship aground, look at what it says in verse 43. In verse 42 and 43. And the soldiers counseled which killed prisoners lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. You know, the soldier's plan was to what? Was to kill all the prisoners. At that time, a Roman soldier, if he was guarding a prisoner and that prisoner escaped, that soldier had to face the same punishment that was set for that prisoner.
That's right.
So, you know, when they ran aground, the Roman soldier decided, we're just going to kill them all so we won't have to worry about, you know, any of them escaped. Their plan didn't match up with Paul's plan and God's plan. But you know something? The thing about God's plan, we have to remain faithful and we have to remain obedient to God's plan for it to be an anchor. Because Paul told them, these guys can't leave, these sailors can't leave. Okay? So what happened? The soldiers cut off the skiff and let it drop into the sea so the sailors couldn't escape. But Pace, back I said, it's just like a bunch of sailors trying to run off and get away.
Where'd you run?
Yeah, I hear you. And then, you know, at the end there, when the soldiers were getting ready to kill all the prisoners, you know, Paul said, no, we can't do that. You know, God was working his plan. God had a plan, but we have to remain faithful and we have to remain obedient. You know, verse 43 too is a good representation of something that no matter what we're going through, no matter what storm we're going through, it's a good example that God is always working his plan, whether we realize it or not. I want you to think about that for a minute. But the centurion, this fellow's name was Julius, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. You know, this was a Roman soldier. I don't know whether this guy had been one of Paul's guards in Caesarea. I don't know if he had been with him the 2 years that Paul had been in Caesarea in that prison. But I do know this. God's plan put him on that ship that Paul was on. God's always at work. Okay? As far as his plan goes.
That's right.
And God's plan, even though God's plan ended up with Paul in Rome, God's plan also included stopping in a little old island by the name of Malta so Paul could minister to some people on an island called Malta. You know, I'll share this with you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God has a plan, and that plan is an anchor. We just need to hold tight. We need to be obedient. We need to be faithful. Back to God's plan. Don't rely on your own plan. Rely on God's plan.
Amen.
Now, I don't know. I don't know your situation. I don't know if you've got a storm in your life. But I'm here to tell you today that God still has anchors that hold.
That's right.
In the midst of a storm.
Amen.
You know, if you don't know God, you don't know those anchors, and you don't have those anchors. So my prayer today is if you're going through a storm, grab a hold of those anchors. You know, maybe you need to come up here today as we sing here in a second and just say, you know, just pray. Just let down your anchor of prayer.
Right.
And say, God, I need to pray because of this storm in my life. Maybe you just need to come up here today and say, God, you know, my anchor of faith is not what it should be. Maybe you need to come up here today and say, God, I just want to drop my anchor of promise, and I want to rely on your word and your promise. Or maybe you just want to come up here and say, God, I want to drop my anchor of your plan. I want to know, you know, what your plan is for my life. He will make it evident to you, I promise. You know, it took upwards of 14 days for Paul to get this word from God. But you know something? When all hope was lost, God came in with his word, his promise, his plan, while Paul was praying. And he was right on time, like that song that Gina sings. But if you don't know God, then you don't have those anchors. And maybe that's what you need to do today too. So Tim, get up here. I apologize. I'm so sorry.
I
appreciate your patience. And I appreciate you hanging in there with me. Thank you so much. God's anchor still holds, folks.
Amen.
Just remember that.
That's right.
It's not a matter of if the storm comes, it's when.
Yeah, that's right.
The storm comes.
They're coming.
But God's anchors will still hold. Okay, so if you need John David, I'm gonna ask you to come up here too. If you need to come up here and you know, and pray, whatever it might be, I just urge you to do so.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and
you will. You may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's just simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as your Savior. And you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again visit us on the website, WilliamsCreekBaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.